So we got in our cars from Overland Park and took a straight course to Olathe. And the following day to Lenexa, and from there to Kansas City, which is a leading city of the District of Missouri. We remained in the city for some time, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside of the gate by the baseball stadium, where we were supposed to be there, and there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. We might not connect Scripture quite that way, but sometimes that's really what we're called to do. To go out into the world and to share the story of Christianity. Not only the story, but to share our own faith story of how we've come to faith and how we go about doing the ministry that we're called to do. So Jesus is there in Bethsaida by the pool. And this is a place that you can go to now. It doesn't quite flow with water like it used to. The springs have dried up and changed. But when you go there, you can see where the pools had been. The rocks are hewed out in a sort of steep hill. You can see the stairs, and you can imagine this gentleman laying there, waiting for years to be healed. And Jesus comes up and sees this person there and says, "Sir, do you want to be made well?" You know, he doesn't really answer the question. Did you hear that? He says, "I can't get down there to the pool, to the water when it's stirred up," meaning I can't get down there when the water's flowing, when the healing waters are coming up. "There's too many people, and they keep pushing me out of line. I can't get Salvi's signature or get the water thrown on me." It's an interesting response, isn't it? And then at the end of the gospel, there's something else that's important. He gets up, because Jesus says, "Well, get up, be made well." He never really gets to the water. Did you notice that? And then it says, and this was a Sabbath day. Now, that means Jesus is in trouble. It's foreshadowing, okay? Jesus is not supposed to heal on the Sabbath. It's strictly forbidden. You're not to work, to do hard things. If you were to travel to the Holy Land, if you find yourself down around the Great Wall, and if you're there to pray and to do something, if you have a cell phone, they will come and the guards will escort you away if you turn it on, because that is considered work. They are serious about this idea of Sabbath. And to heal on the Sabbath was wrong. Jesus is coming to a festival in Jerusalem. He is a rabbi, he is a teacher, he is a holy person. He is to hold the rituals close to his heart. And he should not be where he is, because the lame and the blind and the diseased are there in the water, and it would make Jesus unclean. He's doing unexpected things. He's answering and asking questions that are dangerous. And things are getting stirred up. And people are walking and being healed. Last week, a few of us went down to Houston to share stories of the work that we're doing here at St. Thomas. We went to something called the Invite Welcome Connect Summit. It was a gathering of 25 or 30 different congregations that have embraced some ideas around somebody named Mary Palmer, who's been doing some work. And we were there to share with each other kind of what works and what doesn't work, and different ideas. And I was struck by somebody's speech when he told a story, and I kept thinking about this as I was thinking about the sermon for today. So I want to share with you a little bit about what Jimmy Abbott shared. He's a priest in a suburb in Houston, and he was talking about their dilemma. And their dilemma is that they're a suburban church next to a highway where 28,000 people a day drive by. And people are very busy. And they have to drive to get to work for an hour in Houston, where the jobs are. And people don't go to church there. And down the street, and he wasn't kidding, we all laughed about it, but it's kind of interesting. Down the street, their newest faith community is the Church of Satan, the Luciferians. And he wasn't kidding. Then he made some comments about going to Texan games and other things. We won't know anything about that. Not that those, by the way, those two things are not connected. I'm not calling the Royals Lucifer or Kansas City. I don't want you to, do not get the recording of the sermon and put those two things together. Okay, are we clear? And he said they struggle because they'd often do things and no one would show up. And so they started asking people questions about what was going on. And he was talking in particular about Ash Wednesday. So they had a service around 7:30 in the morning, and nobody would be there. And they'd have the service at 6 o'clock at night, and no one would be there. And so they did something really radical, and they asked people why. And they said, I got to drive to work. I can't wait until 7:30 to leave, or I will never get to work. So their first Ash Wednesday service got moved to 6 a.m., so that people can get there, and they showed up in droves. And they thought about all these people who were driving by, and they thought, maybe we should do something about this. And some of you have seen this on the internet or heard about it. So they tried Ashes to Go. But they did something different than I've ever heard, because most people I hear do that. They go somewhere and sit around for 20 minutes and call it good. And Stephen is committed to doing this next year, so I'm really grateful for this. as soon as the 6 a.m. service is over, they set a station up right in their parking lot, right next to the highway. They put signs up, and they have Ashes to Go for 12 hours. Ashes to Go, so you can come, drive through. The priest or deacon will pray for you, and lay people are there as well. You can get your ashes and be on your way in your busy life. And they said, this is not for the members of the church. I expect you to come to the services and to be there and to do the full litany and to hear the psalms and to go through everything. We're doing this for the people who are driving by because maybe we can reach them. What do we hear in that story? Going out to the different communities to preach the gospel. And then he told a story about a woman who drove up and rolled her window down about 4 inches and says, are you for real? He said, there was, Jimmy's a great guy, and he's really funny. He says, well, there was a thing I wanted to say, and then there was a thing I said. He said, yeah, I think I'm for real. They said a prayer, and she got anointed with ashes. And the next year, she came back and told the story about how she'd been thinking about it the whole time, had been thinking about it the year, thinking about why she'd come to that place, and she received the ashes again, and then eventually, she made her way across the threshold of the church and into the sanctuary and into the life of the community, and she reordered her life into a life of faith, and she was there at the conference as a vestry member and as a warden of the church to tell others about the story of how they'd reached out. It's a great story. And it was even better because she was there in the audience with us. And so it wasn't just, you know, preachers never exaggerate. But a story of transformation from someone reaching out. I think it's hard for us to sometimes remember that when we say we're the church, we're the body of Christ. And what we mean by that is we're Jesus in the world. That Jesus works through us in all kinds of different ways. And really what was happening then was as they were sitting out, inviting people to think about their sin, putting ashes on their forehead on a day in which the culture pauses a little bit to pay attention to religion. And they're saying to people, would you like to be made well? Would you like to be made well? Would you like to be made whole Would you like to be restored? Would you like to find meaning in your life? Would you like to find community? Would you like to find love? Sometimes we're so afraid to ask people those questions because we know they've been sitting by that pool for 40 years and they can't get to the water. And if we ask the question, it might stir something up. It might change us and it might change them. But I think when I hear this gospel, I hear that call. I hear that call to take that risk. And remember, the person who hears it isn't getting in the water. Jesus says, get up. I love that. It was even better if I was from Texas. Get up. Get up. You've been made well. The man gets up, takes his mat, and goes on. I can think how many times in our life, or even in my own life, that I've been sitting by that pool, waiting for somebody to carry me in. I've been sitting in that place in my spiritual life, in my health life, in my relationship life, in whatever life it might be, in my relationship with God, and I'm just not moving. And I'm waiting for somebody to pull me up, to push me over, to help me out. And time again, I find that when I get up, and sometimes it's tough to get up, when I get up, things start to happen. When I take a step, when I take that action, when I pick up that book, when I start to pray, when I start to do those things, something changes. So Jesus says, get up. Get up and be made well. What if our call is to help people to get up? To reach a hand out? To do what we have to do, to give them a moment to get up, to get unstuck. I think this is part of the call as the church. And it's inspiring when we begin to see this happen. So maybe the challenge for all of us, and we might be different people in the story, we might be the person that can go out and encourage another or can ask them, do you want to be made well? We might be the person sitting by the pool that hasn't moved for decades. It's hard to say where we are in the story. We might be in many different places all the time. But I think the challenge for us is to be willing to get out of the comfortableness of this sanctuary. To stop pushing people to the side. To stop keeping them from getting to the water. And to ask the question, do you want to be made well? So get up. I think it's easy now to sit back and not participate. Do you know what I mean by that? It's easy to see something happening and sit back and not do anything. It's easy to be too busy to move along, to go on. But sometimes when we start to pay attention, when we start to stand up, when we start to interact, we get that interaction just like Jimmy did when the woman pulled up and they rolled the window down, they say, are you for real? What happens if you were to listen to your coworker's faith story? I think that's an interesting question, isn't it? Take a lot of risk to ask them, what do you think about God? And then not for you to respond, but just to listen. One of the exercises we did is we'd been through these plenaries, we'd heard all these ideas. We were sitting there and we were challenged to hear each other's faith story, and I happened to be with two other men, and they said, we want you to answer one of these questions. Tell a story about when Jesus meant something to you. That was the question. And so each of us began to share a little bit. They both looked at me because I'm a priest. They said, why don't you go first? So I shared a little bit of my story, and then I got to listen to two others, and I did something most priests have a hard time with. I kept my mouth shut, and I just listened. And I heard amazing stories. Two amazing stories of two people who had struggled with their faith, who had struggled with their relationship with the church, who had found themselves in conflict, who had left the church and come back, who had had faith and didn't have faith, who had struggled. And the Spirit moved in the room. They wanted to be made well. And they were there to ask others if they wanted to be made well. So I think the challenge for you is to go out into your life. And I want you to try to listen this week and ask some questions. Maybe ask some friends about their faith story. And just listen. Don't feel compelled to share your own story. Don't feel compelled to get out there and find everything, but just ask them what they think of God. When did they last experience God? What was it like to go to church? What's it like to pray? Maybe they'll ask you. It's okay to share if they do. But listen. And then listen and watch for those that want to be made well, that are stuck. If you find that you're stuck, I want to challenge you to come talk to somebody about it. Try to stand up. And then maybe you'll find somebody rolling their window down and they're going to say, are you for real? Amen.